The scripture comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate. Though he had decided to release him, but you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." The word of the Lord.
The word gospel means good news. And word means the gospel. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we gather in the midst of the people of God to celebrate it. Stand with me. Let us honor the gospel. If you are comfortable and able to do so. This is from Luke 24, beginning with the 36th verse. Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do your doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Israel. You are witnesses of these things." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. Interesting morning. We have three scriptures too. Three scriptures also. Here's the third one. I'm not going to read all of it. This is out of the epistle, the letter that John wrote. It's in your New Testament. There's 1 John, 2 John. You've seen those. This is 1 John 3. And this is what he writes. You're going to have to just listen. I didn't give it to Sue to put on the screen. So you'll have to read it with your ears. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Happy April 15th. I understand actually tax day is deferred till the 17th. Is that true? There's some kind of a holiday in Washington. Probably taxpayer day or something. But for us it is Easter morning. Still, we are an Easter people. Did you know you were an Easter people? The Easter is upon us. Easter doesn't stop. It isn't just a one-day event. For some it is. For some, Easter is a bookmark, and after Easter, it's time for summer. It's time for growing things. It's time for yards. It's time for vacations. It's time for travel and all of those fun things that happen in the summertime. And church is put on a back burner for an Easter people. For the people that John called children of God, it is never appropriate to have church on the back burner. That's an interesting phrase he used. Children of God. Do you feel like children of God? It feels okay. It feels fine, doesn't it? It feels normal, natural, and it fits well. It's a nice fit. It's intriguing that we kind of take it for granted. Well, of course we're children of God. I mean, the whole world is God's creation, yes? We see it all around us, and we celebrate God in creation, and we are part of that createdness, so we have to be children of God. But it's something we need to acknowledge, that it's different, that... Well, how many of us have two eyes? One nose, two ears. From there on, we can get kind of... It gets kind of different. I've known some people with four fingers and instead of five, and had a professor who was... This finger was... Yeah, okay, well, anyway... We're kind of all similarly made, so we're all alike in that way. But that is out of our createdness. And here, John is helping us understand that children of God means something different from that. It means that out of God's gift and grace, out of his divine revelation and grace, he has made us children of God. He has bequeathed us with that. We need to acknowledge that. It's not just everybody has two eyes. But we are children of God because God has selected us and made us children of God. I love the way Peter phrases this. He says, "This is the author of life whom God raised from the dead." That's the resurrection story. That's Easter morning right there, isn't it? The author of life whom God has raised from the dead. This is telling it, and Peter is proclaiming it to the people, to the Jews. So Easter people, summer is upon us. We need to decide whether we are about being summer people that put church on the back burner. By the way, how many of you have heard of the Veterans Hospital? It's about to open finally. Have you noticed? It's been there for a while. It's almost like we've known it for some time. And it is opening soon, and there will be people moving here to be a part of that. We may have guests. People coming in that we don't know yet. And just an aside to think about that. As children of God, we will welcome other children of God. Beware of entertaining strangers, for in doing so you entertain angels unaware. Entertain all that come. Welcome them. And let us open our church to them. We've been talking since before Easter. The bishop had us gather virtually in a gathering, and we talked about mustard seed faith. If you have as much faith as a mustard seed, you can grow into one of the greatest of bushes of trees, the great mustard bush tree. What a celebration. And if you had that much faith, you can move mountains. And the bishop is calling us to move those mountains. Those mountains that have divided us over so many different ways. Mountains between people that are angry with one another. We know that. I would guess that if I stopped and talked with each one of you and interviewed, there'd be someone you know that just drives you nuts. You know, the neighbor that drives you nuts. Whether, whoever, however it works, and how that division is and what it is and why it is. Divisions over language, divisions over race. This very week, there was a young man who got lost and knocked on a door for direction, and he was answered with a shotgun. The people inside were so fearful, their mountain was so high, they couldn't see a young man. That's a tragedy in our midst, ladies and gentlemen. That's a mountain that has to be moved, and moved soon. We have to face this. We have to work at this. There's another wall that I want to address this morning. It's an old wall. It's one that we don't always even acknowledge exists. It's one that sits kind of in the background, and it's old and dusty and worn that we don't acknowledge it's there, and it is the division between the Jews and the Christians. It goes back to Peter and other passages like this. He was talking to the Jews and he said, God has glorified his servant whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate. You rejected the holy and innocent one. You killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. That passage and a few others that refer to those times of the trial of Jesus have been used to support the vilification of the Jews. That is unacceptable to us. It was unacceptable at that time. Peter said, you killed the Jews. You Jews killed Jesus. Let me get it straight. In reality, we all did. Society, he came amongst us. It was so new, so radical, so difficult to understand and to accept. And it wasn't fitting into our mindset of what a Messiah would be. And Peter calls for repentance and forgiveness. But that has not come as openly and completely as we should be. Hitler in the 30s and 40s vilified the Jews, and his solution was the Holocaust. 6 million Jews. We acknowledge that evil, but we haven't stopped to say, we will not accept a division between us. There are still vandalisms and still graffiti and still people that are anti-Semitic. And it is because we haven't stood up as God's children and talked about God's other children. These are our in-laws. These are our neighbors. These are worshipful, wonderful people. Think for a moment, if you will. And remember, if you have forgotten, that Jesus was a devout Jew. He grew up in the midst of that gathering. He said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He was tying it all together, tying our family together, bringing us together. He's talking about the Bible, the Jewish Bible, the Torah. They knew that. He knew that well. He was an excellent scholar. There are some who still seem to hold on to that old mountain and seek a way to justify this wall, this division. It cannot be. And as Christians, we need to overtly, concretely, and clearly state, this is not so. We do not condone in any way, shape, or form. So let's recognize it. Let's work on it. Let's be aware of that. I've given you a lot of homework in the last several weeks. I guess the bishop has given us all a lot of homework. A lot of mountains that we need to work on. Mountains amongst our families. I call my families in-laws and outlaws. There's some I just love dearly, and there's some that they're the outlaws. Or maybe I'm the outlaw to them, and so some of that needs to be me thinking about that mountain that is between us and why and how to eradicate it. There are mountains in our culture, in our societies. Political ones are easy to spot. The fun one that, to me, is around sports. I love having teams, and they're sitting in the stands watching a baseball game, and they'll be on opposite teams, and they'll sit together. We should learn from that. We can understand that we can have different favorite teams and yet be unified and celebrating the game of baseball or football or whatever. Those mountains must be moved. And if you have faith, even faith as much as a mustard seed, that's not a lot, just a little bit. But with the help of God Almighty and His divine grace, we can move those mountains. I'm calling us to do that. And I'm right there with you struggling at it. Because I have some mountains of my own. I'm not going to tell you what they are. It's between me and God. As are yours. But God is with us in working around them. Amen.